Welcome to Marvel Champions Podcast, a podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game. I'm your host, Scott, and with me, as always, my co-host, Ryan.
Hello, I think we're going to do something a little bit different on this one.
Yeah, a little bit getting through the holidays. Thought we'd change up, do something a little new, a little refresh for the new year.
Yeah, we do promise that Deadpool and X-23 reviews are coming soon. It's been a little chaotic with the holidays, as Scott mentioned, but those are on our radar, and hopefully we'll get those out soon.
Yeah, it's been a little busy. It's a busy time of the year, so instead of maybe taking some weeks off, we figure we just do something nice and easy for this week.
Yeah.
Well, I feel obligated that, you know, we should introduce this new little section of this new episode.
There it is.
But I've seen a lot of like new players. You know, Christmas is a time when people get new games. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get introduced to games. So we thought it would be fun to take a ride through the old time machine back to the beginning, back to the core box.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, and talk about some obligations from the core box heroes.
All right, I like where this is going. Now, it'll be very interesting looking at the obligations of early heroes compared to the ones coming out. Because I feel like, just from memory, there's going to be some differences.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to have a lot of similarities to a lot of the core box. And, you know, the core box, you got to extend a little grace. It's the first soiree out into how are these obligations going to feel and interact with the players and how the game goes. You know, do you make them really hard, really easy, in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it will be good to kind of see this and look at the evolution that comes from these.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to it. Nothing to it but to do it.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the first one.
Well, Ryan, why don't you start out and you tell us, what is an obligation?
Oh, great question. Great question. So an obligation is generally a encounter card type that gets stuck on a hero. That's kind of the best I can say. So it's kind of like an attachment in some ways, but I don't know. What would you say is the difference between an attachment and an obligation?
So there are encounter cards that are obligations that are in scenarios or encounter sets that are different from the player obligations. But generally, correct. I think, like you said, they're usually given to that character and it forces them to do an action, or it attaches to them in some way. And then they have to deal with some type of response to get rid of that obligation.
Yeah.
And getting rid of it can be discarding the obligation back into the discard, in the encounter deck discard pile. Or sometimes it does allow you to remove it from the game if you meet all those requirements to pay for it.
Yeah. As the name implies, you are obligated to do it. You've got to do something about it.
And every hero comes with an obligation.
Correct.
And we've seen one hero that comes with two obligations.
Ooh.
Yes. So, do you use that search function on the Facebook group before you before you put that question in the chat?
That's true. That was a common question.
Yeah, if we would have done a review for whatever year that was that 21? Like a year-end review for community drama, that would have been in there. Probably that number one.
It definitely would have been knocking at the door. good times.
All right, so obligations. Ryan, if we're playing two players, and I have an encounter card and I reveal it and it's your obligation, do I have to deal with it or do I give it to you?
Unfortunately, you give it to me. which is the best encounter card when you don't have to deal with it.
Right. Have we ever revealed each other's obligations and like just swapped encounter cards?
I want to say we've had a game where we've both gotten our obligations. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, because it's funny because the first person's like, oh, look, that's nice. Here you go. Here's an extra one.
And then, then it's like, oh, dang it. Well, here you go.
Yeah.
If it hasn't happened to us, surely it's happened to someone else.
And I think most of the cards say in that bold first kind of line of it, it says give to the X player of whoever that character is.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think these are kind of interesting because it's a way to add a little bit of theme to the character.
Mm-hmm.
And typically it has to do with their alter ego in some way. And it's something that's kind of there to trip them up, slow them down, throw off whatever that character does. So I kind of like this aspect of the game. I think it adds some variety. I think it adds some roadblocks to characters that may be feel like they're strong or have good flow. It's a good way to kind of trip you up and keep you on your toes.
Yeah. And even though it's not necessary part of the nemesis encounter set for that hero, it oftentimes has somewhat of a ability relationship with it. So they kind of go hand in hand.
Yep. All right, Ryan, without further ado, let's jump right into our first one with Captain Marvel from the core box.
All right. Hers is Family Emergency, and you have a choice. Well, at the beginning, it says you may flip to alter ego form, and then you choose one of the two options. Now, most obligations, spoiler alert, have some form of these two options. But for Family Emergency, Carol's, you can exhaust Carol Danvers and remove Family Emergency from the game, or you are stunned. And the game, this card gains Surge. Discard this obligation. So it's either an exhaust or a stun. And Surge.
And a discard. Doesn't go from the game.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So you could see it again.
So oftentimes, I find myself flipping down and exhausting to get rid of it.
Which you hope. You hope you haven't, like, defended for that turn.
Yes.
Exhausted, because that would be bad.
Yes, that's gonna hit you hard. But I will say, I have found that the you may flip to alter ego form, that to be sometimes a benefit to flip down. That.
Yeah. Especially with her, right? Doesn't she have a pretty good alter ego power?
She does. She flipping down can bring her lots of cards.
So, and most of the time, when you flip down, if you get that surge on that second bullet point, then, you know, usually a surge on alter ego is not too bad. Encounter card on alter ego is not too bad.
Yeah, yeah. And especially with Carol, who, whatever option you choose, you're going to draw a card. If you have her space station out, I forgot what it's actually called, but I think it's space station. You can draw two cards and discard one. Is that what it is? It's been a while.
I don't know. I'd have to flip to a different page to see that.
It's been a while. I'll look it up, but she has that, like we talked about, that draw card. So it's pretty helpful to be able to be in alter ego for her and prep for big turns.
I think the only like downside that it does factor in is you don't get that increased hand size because
correct
when you started the villain phase, you were in hero form. But you're it is definitely
Alpha
right.
Flight Station.
Yeah, you can sometimes get a benefit because you could always, if you have some like good alter ego supports, do those and then flip right back up.
Yeah.
So you can sometimes benefit heroes out there that have healing, which is our next one, which we can talk about. But Any final thoughts on Family Emergency?
I think it's a pretty solid one for her, though I think her benefits of being an alter ego, being able to draw cards, it's not the worst obligation in the core box. So I would say it's kind of, should we have a rating system for him?
Well, the only other thing I was going to point out is the stun really that bad?
I think in the core box, if you just have core box, I think it does feel bad.
But it's not when you're devastating.
When you're first starting, but at this point in where the game is at, it's not that bad.
Because really, in the grand scheme of it, you can either just exhaust, which would act like a stun, but then you'd get rid of the card from the game. It would be worth the exhaust.
Yeah.
Where stun, you would gain the stun and the surge. So I guess the other thing we can do is, if you're met with this decision and you can do either, which one would you do? I'm going to say exhaust Carol Danvers.
I would exhaust, yeah.
Because the stun and the surge is significantly worse.
Yeah, the surge is what makes...
If you're just having those two options, yeah.
Yeah, the surge makes it not as fun to me. So, I would, if I had to rate this as, I don't know. Is there a good rating system for obligations?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if we go with like a 1 through 5, 1 being like almost where it benefits you to get it, to where 5 is like completely stops and you can't do anything, which I guess some of the later, more recent waves can feel that way. To me, this is like a 2 or 3.
I was going to say the same thing. I think hers, as long as you're not exhausted, or even if you are exhausted, being able to flip to alter ego for her is not a bad thing.
Yeah. I find this one almost gets you an extra flip. I mean, it's almost like a 2 in my opinion.
Basically, yeah. Because it allows you to flip.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, we all know Spider-Man doesn't make a bunch of money working at the Daily Bugle.
And that's true.
He got an eviction notice. His obligation eviction notice. He's got his rent passed due. So this one says, give to the Peter Parker player. You may choose to flip to alter ego form. Choose one. Exhaust Peter Parker. Remove eviction notice from the game. Or discard one card at random from your hand. This card gains surge. Discard this obligation.
So, quick question. Why does the image, he only has a glove on one hand?
That is what I was thinking this whole time. I don't know whose eviction notice it is. Because it's not like a Spider-Man glove, because his gloves are red, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It's got like a black glove, and it looks like the cuff of like a trench coat.
Yeah, like a trench coat. And I will say, the rent past due and final notice is very legible, but the rest of that letter is garbage. I'm pretty sure you should be able to read it if you can read those two letters, those two words. Yeah. Well, to be honest, when you were reading this, I was like, this ain't that bad.
No, and like looking back at these, I didn't realize how many of them in the like second bullet option, how many of them say gain surge.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that, so the first one just is what it is. You exhaust Peter, remove it from the game. The second one, I feel like sometimes discarding a card at random, at least for me, my random is always the one card that I was hoping to like play the next round.
Yeah, it's like a 9 out of 10 times that's what happens. I would agree, and I think for Spider-Man, I'm very passionate about Spider-Man when it comes to his hero. Because I am not a fan.
Well, see, that's what I hate. You know, we're going to get me down this whole Spider-Man thing. Is like, I love Spider-Man, the character.
Yep.
But he's just not a very fun Marvel Champions character to play for my play style and the way I enjoy the game.
Oh, Scott, he's great.
Which makes it really disappointing.
He's the best protection.
Because I love Spider-Man, the character.
I know people are just shouting like, you're just not playing them right, and stuff like that. Believe me, I have played Spider-Man many times, many aspects, and try to play him as right as possible. And I just cannot. He just doesn't function right. I don't feel very good as Spider-Man. I wish there was more to him. I think part of his problem, and sorry, this is a tangent, but I think one of his core things about his problem is he was designed for all players. And so his play style is just have a bunch of good cards, but they don't necessarily function perfect together. Like, there's no synergy. And it's just kind of generic. I don't really feel like I'm playing Spider-Man. I think he's just the hero that they just are made generic.
He's the like introductory like tutorial level of like a video game.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. It's sad because I think they could have done more with his webs and more integrated with his other cards and just made him flow a lot better and stuff. But and the reason why I say all this is because discarding that one random card, he is so limited on the cards that he needs to function right. Like, he only has one event that attacks. He has three copies of it, but it's three cost, his swinging web kick. That's it. So if you have one in your hand and you really need to attack, and that gets discarded, it's devastating to him.
Yeah, and that was the other thing I was going to say is, like we talked about, you're more than likely, you're probably in hero form. So discarding that one card at random takes you from a 5 hand size into a 4, which can be devastating for a turn.
Yeah.
Because like you said, he's a little bit more of an expensive character to play cards.
Yeah, yeah. And most likely you probably exhausted to defend so you don't die, but you can also draw that card from his ability. So you're probably at 5.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
But even then, if you discard one and a gain surge, you're working with 4 cards. And if you're playing Swing and Webkit, that's all your cards. Unless you have set up your other web shooters.
Yeah, that's true. He's got web shooter resources.
Yeah, I want to like Spider-Man so bad as the hero, but he just doesn't function well for me. I've tried so hard.
Well, here's wishing for another, like, Web Warriors Spider-Man box with Superior Spider-Man or something.
Yeah, yeah. They have a whole can to open with the Spider-Verse. They've only scratched the surface, so.
Yeah, and there's, you know, the Spider-Man popularity will just continue to be there.
Yep, for sure.
What's the other thing I was going to say? Oh, I pointed out in the other one. Aunt May is at least a benefit here, so if you do flip down, you can recover, but use her to gain some life from eating cookies.
Yep, yep. And you can use his resource on his ally ability.
That's true.
Or not ally, but his alter ego ability.
Alter ego, yeah.
Yeah. And Sweet. The villain hopefully didn't thwart.
Yeah.
Because if he thwarts, Spider-Man's done for.
Surge into advance. Dang it.
Oh, no. So... I would rate this as, like, for general heroes, the ability's not bad, but for Spider-Man, I think it's pretty bad. So yeah. I would give this a 3 or 4.
That's where I was at, 3, 4. Yeah, I'm with you.
Go.
All right, She-Hulk. I'll let you do this one since you love She-Hulk so much.
I do like She-Hulk. It is legal work. Of course, you give it to the Jennifer Walters player. You can flip to alter ego, and then you can exhaust her to Jennifer Walters, that is. Remove legal work from the game, or give the main scheme 1 acceleration token. Discard this obligation.
Mm.
I think that's pretty rough.
Well, especially for her. Like, you're playing a solo with Jennifer Walters. That's no fun. I know people say, like, she's an awesome thwarter and alter ego, but I've never been able to make that work.
I've got her to thwart pretty good, but she is a more difficult thwarter hero.
Yes. So I think that that could be, consequences could be very impactful for like the length of a game.
Yeah, yeah.
But it like would this... be interesting. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it would be interesting with Deadpool, though.
Yeah, you could play her with Deadpool.
Yeah, yeah. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, the Spider-Man one was very, like, instantaneous bad. Discard one card, it affects my turn. This one is affecting, like, my future entire game going forward.
Yeah, yeah. This isn't a one-shot. It's a forever shot.
I mean, we haven't seen a card that allows you to remove acceleration tokens. It's not an icon, it's a token.
That would be an interesting card one day. Yeah, I think this one for her is a pretty devastating obligation. She's not a great Thorder and hero, and she wants to be flipping into hero a lot, so it's a gamble. It does have the benefit because it does get you thrown into Alter Ego, so you can flip up to do some damage. But you're still most likely, you don't have that hand size that you're looking for. Yeah.
Because that's the big thing with her hand size is when you do go down, you get that benefit of the bigger hand size and Alter Ego and then coming back up. But if you're having to go from hero to Alter Ego, you do get the benefit of her hero ability, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And it just speeds up the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully you're doing a Gamma Slam a little sooner than you were planning.
Yeah, yeah. I actually like this one. I think this one is a good obligation. Out of the three we've looked at, I think this is the best one.
Yeah, it's pretty impactful. Some of those other ones just felt like they were, you know, just kind of getting in your way. But this one, I think, adds a little bit of impact to the game as a whole. You know, the game you're playing as a whole.
Yeah, yeah. I think when She-Hulk with core box cards, I think this was a little more devastating. I think with the updated card pool, it's a little better. You can handle it better. But yeah, I'd give this one probably a four is where I'm looking for this one.
I like that. I like a four. I'll agree with you, Ray. So the next one we're going to go into is Iron Man. And I was surprised that they focused more on his like business problems. And I guess in more recent years, they've kind of gone away from his like alcoholism.
His demon in a bottle.
Yeah, I think that would have been a little more funny to, you know, alcoholism's not funny. You know, if you have a problem, please get help. But I think it would be funny if they would have done more of like a drunken on like the gutter card on this one.
That would be historical Iron Man accurate.
Yes. But we do not have that Iron Man. We have
That's right.
His business problems, Iron Man. Where he's just a workaholic.
That's right. He's spying on Black Widow. It looks like in the picture.
Is that Black Widow or is that Pepper Potts?
Kind of looks more like Black Widow, but it could be Pepper Potts.
Those redheads in Tony's life.
That's right.
All right. Business problems. Give to the Tony Stark player. You may flip to Alter Ego form. Choose Exhaust Tony Stark. Remove business problems from the game. Your other option is to exhaust each upgrade you control. Discard this obligation. Yeah, that can be bad. Because that's... His whole thing is his upgrades allow him to really do anything. He does have some events that lets him attack, but this would get rid of your ability to get that extra ready and to do any type of thwarting and all damage. This like damage. Yeah. And if you're playing like, I know in early game, there was a lot of protection builds because it had some tech upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
This would also, you know, a lot of those tech upgrades would get kind of nullified for that. Well,
yeah.
A lot of those protection ones, they're interrupts or responses, whatever they are, usually happen in the villain phase, so they should ready before you go into the next villain phase. So. But for his cards, it completely like gets rid of your entire turn.
Yeah, yeah. What's most devastating about it is that it's upgrade, not specific to character upgrades or tech upgrades. It's just upgrades in general. Everything gets exhausted.
Yeah.
And that's for a character that likes upgrades, that is pretty devastating. Yeah, especially mid to late game.
Oh yeah. Especially I was thinking with some of his event cards, like his one that wants him to be aerial to be able to do a little more, his Sonic Punch. You can't go aerial now.
Yeah.
Because don't you have to exhaust the boot? You have to exhaust the boots and spend a science mental resource.
I believe so. That's another gripe I have, is that there's two boots that do the same thing. So there's no point of having both of them equipped.
That's so you can go double aerial, right?
Double aerial. That means you double all the aerial effects.
Exactly.
Or if you exhaust both of them, he gains the Guardian of the Galaxy trait because he flies into space.
Uh-huh. That's true. He could fly into space.
There you go.
All right. I think the first part of this one's, you're going to exhaust Tony Stark, get rid from the game. Probably the easiest thing, so you don't have to deal with it for the remainder of the game. But still, discarding it and doing all your upgrades, does it completely stop him? No. But it's definitely going to kind of make a pretty wasted turn. Not devastating, yeah. But just kind of like frustrating.
Yeah, and flipping down to alter ego is not bad for him, especially if you have what's his upgrade that helps you?
He's got a couple. He's got, he's got his ability. You could do his ability, his futurist. And then he's got his Stark Tower, where you can go grab the topmost tech. So you might be able to put down a upgrade that's ready.
That's ready, yeah. Yeah, I think, he does all right flipping down to alter ego. So it's not the worst, but yeah, just getting rid of those upgrades, especially his arc reactor, being able to ready, that's pretty devastating.
And his gauntlets.
And his gauntlets.
Put out some damage, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Mark V helmet, it's what it is. It's just one threat, so.
Yeah, that was always a big gripe with his saving grace with Thorting is he has a basic Thort of 2 and then has his arc reactor, which saves him as a Thorter.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, definitely if there's multiple schemes out, it can start adding up, but yeah, it's not my favorite.
But I have not played an Iron Man game since player side schemes have been introduced. Maybe that's something I should go back and try.
We should do a Iron Man and Ironheart game.
That sounds like fun.
Let's see how that one goes. The Iron Bowl.
We need to get a third person. We could have a War Machine in there too.
Oh, what villain would be good for that one?
Ultron.
Yeah, I would say Ultron. That would be a fun game because with all the bots, you got Iron Man that can do pain damage.
And
War Machine, of course, can do pain damage.
And then all the tokens you can gain with Ironheart. Just ping a bunch of damage off with her little tokens.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one.
Yeah.
The Iron Bowl.
Yeah. The Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I would I'd probably put his where She-Hulk is. I'd probably put it out of 4.
I think I'm going to go 3.
Oh,
it's devastating, but it has no long game consequence. It just kind of kills your one turn.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I will say I like it because it focuses on his niche.
Sure.
Where I feel like the first two that we gave a 2 or 3, Spider-Man and Captain Marvel, didn't. They were just kind of bad things, like just a generic encounter card. And sure. I felt She-Hulk was more geared to her and her struggles with potential thwarting. So I do like Iron Man's thing being focused on him.
Okay, Ryan, I'll give it to you. 3.5.
All right. Last one.
All right. Rounding this out, our King of Wakanda, the Black Panther.
It is Affairs of State. You give it to the T'Challa player. Flip to Alter Ego if you want to. You can exhaust and remove it from the game, as with all of them. Or you can choose and discard a Black Panther upgrade you control. Then discard this obligation. So I think this is the first one. No, that one didn't have Surge. And that one didn't have Surge. Yeah, okay. I'm off. So I think this one I like, because again, it focuses on what the character does.
And those Black Panther upgrades are kind of worthless without Wakanda Forever. Mm-hmm. And the more you have, the better Wakanda Forever becomes. So getting rid of those kind of loses some of his synergy he has with those upgrades.
Yep, yep. And it can be devastating early, mid, and late game.
Yeah, because if you were being like, oh, this is perfect, I just need to do, I've got like two Wakanda Forevers in my hand, mm-hmm. should be able to pretty much end the game as long as I make this particular one. You know, I need all of the damage I'm going to be able to get. And you do this one, and, you know, it's gone.
Boop.
Yeah.
And now your plans are ruined.
I think it would be worse early game. Because he's a little bit of a setup character. Mm-hmm. So if you got, like, one, you're working on the second, and you got to get rid of one, it's like you're kind of back at square one.
Yes. I totally agree with you, because you get to choose, which is good, but if you only have one or two, it's really devastating, because those Wakanda Forevers just become less powerful.
Well, he has no event cards except for those Wakanda Forevers, and if you don't have any of the upgrades, those are just wasted cards.
They're just wasted cards, yep.
Because they can't do anything.
Oh, yeah. And if for some reason you got this one and the...
Oh, caught off guard.
The what?
I was going to say caught off guard.
Yes, caught off guard where you got to discard.
Yeah.
That's pretty devastating for him, especially.
Because yeah. he's a setup character. He's an upgrade support setup character.
Yeah, he's like Iron Man in that way, is... Once you get him set up, he's pretty powerful. I don't think he's quite the same powerful as Iron Man, but he's very, what's the right word? He can just do everything with those upgrades. He can attack, he can heal, he can thwart, though his thwart's not great.
No, his thwart's not great.
Yeah, I think this one is another solid one, similar to Iron Man.
Yeah. See, in the Iron Man one, you didn't get rid of one. Whereas here, no. you discard it. So not only do you have to wait for it to come back around through your deck,
mm-hmm.
then you've got to pay to play it again.
Yeah, just waste the cost.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it feels like, well, because of the way his deck's designed, if you get one, you gotta play it. If you don't, you're just hurting yourself.
Yeah, there's very few scenarios where you don't play.
Yep, yeah. So I would probably put this, to me, in that same spot of probably a 4, maybe 3.5.
Yeah, I'm right there. It's not like game-changing. Well, I mean, for the T'Challa player, it could be game-changing.
Yeah, for early game, it can be game-changing.
Yeah. I would agree. I think it's more impactful than Iron Man, but maybe not as impactful as the She-Hulk one.
Yeah, yeah. What's interesting with, at least with Iron Man and Black Panther, is they can be turn killers, where She-Hulk's Well, even Spider-Man can be a little bit of a turn killer, and Captain Marvel's can be a little bit with the stun. I think She-Hulk's is not a turn killer at all, but it's a game killer.
I would agree.
Which I think is interesting.
I also did just want to point out, on each of these, they both have two boost icons. Yeah, so you get them as boost cards. It's just an extra two.
Yeah, the other thing I noticed while looking at all the cards is they have 2019 copyright FFG.
Yeah, this game's been out for 5 years this year.
Dang.
I know, it does not feel that long, but it has been.
It doesn't. It doesn't feel like this game is 5 years old, but it for sure is. And it's fun going back to these heroes and still playing them and just being like, oh yeah, they're still good.
Yeah, like it's still a good time to go back and play Black Panther, Iron Man. Iron Man.
Yeah.
So, and the nice thing is, you know, we pointed out all these kind of like early core box, just kind of pitfalls being new, but we've got so many different cards and ways to play. You know, you could go make a Spider-Man shield deck now and hopefully kind of fix some of those holes that you think Spider-Man has.
Yeah, the pool's so vast that you can, I think you can probably, I'm doing air quotes here, people, on a podcast, fix some heroes, the ones that have more or bigger gaps in their kits to be able to play. The card pool just, at this point, you should be good on most heroes.
Sure. And you should be able to really pick any aspect at this point to play with any hero and at least find some either like super efficient way to play or just like a really fun way or fun interactions to play.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think like since we're talking about Black Panther, you can do leadership with him. You can do a fun aggression, justice, protection is pretty fun with him since he has that retaliate. So yeah, the game is great.
Yep. The game is not dead.
I don't know about that one. I mean, if we don't get a release in the next couple days, then
that's right.
It's we might as well say it's dead.
Right. This just should come out on Friday, and if there was no release yesterday, the game is dead.
That's right. It's over, people. Back it up. Sorry to all the Marvel Knight fans or Fantastic Four fans.
That's right. We didn't get Fantastic Four in Daredevil.
Nah.
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane. Well, Ryan, I hope you enjoyed this first episode of our obligation frustration. I think it was good to revisit these Korbox heroes and their obligations.
Yeah,
it's a cool little dynamic of the game that I think keeps you on your toes as the heroes.
Yeah, I think it just adds a little bit more personal touch that reflects a little bit on the theme of that hero as well as the gameplay for them.
Yep, I would agree. Well, if you have a favorite obligation out of these core box heroes, we'd love to hear about it. You can tell us your thoughts by emailing us at marvelchampionspod@gmail.com. And we appreciate everybody listening. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Stay away from obligations.
Oh, Ryan, I can't get the stupid computer to stop recording.